You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hey, it's Mike, bringing you another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks, and joining me tonight is an old voice from the past, Ken. How's it going tonight, partner. Ken?
More like a partner in crime, I think. He's back. He got released. He's come back.
It's that home release program.
Yeah, I have a couple ankle bracelets. Not because I have to, I just like wearing them.
And the ball and chains. So tonight we're going to discuss quite a bit with Marvel. There was some stuff that happened over the holiday break and some stuff that's already been announced within the last week, or the last couple days actually, that we're going to cover as well. And again, welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks issue, another issue, which, well, I gotta fill Ken in. We're not calling them episodes because it's sort of like the comics. You know, comics are issues, not episodes. So being a little different, we're calling it an issue. Not that we're having issues.
I got it. We're not having issues anymore.
The Spider-Man theme was played in honor of James Avery, who passed away New Year's Day. After doing a little research, he was the voice of War Machine between the 94-95 Iron Man cartoon series, and did one episode as War Machine in the 96 Spider-Man cartoon series. So we did that in his honor.
So, if you don't know who he is, he was Uncle Phil.
Phil, yeah.
And Fresh Prince.
The voice of Shredder in the Turtles cartoon, in the original Turtles cartoon.
Wow, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the 94 Iron Man.
I vaguely remember it. But then again, I think I was still in Louisiana at the time.
I'm guessing it had Iron Man in it.
Probably. So, let's kind of round up, do a Marvel roundup of 2013.
Let's do it.
Yeah, a little last year. So, Ant-Man was one of the biggest news stories right before the end of the year. Paul Rudd, you know, from Anchorman 2, is going to be doing Ant-Man. Hank Pym.
And well, are we sure it's Hank Pym? It has never been really said.
It hasn't been said, but it's what's been alluded to is he's going to be Ant-Man. Unless Hank Pym's not Ant-Man, who else could it be?
There was three people that were Ant-Man. Scott Lang is, I think is the guy's name. People are thinking that or one of the people thinking that that's who he's going to play. But the director has come out and said that, no, it's going to be Hank Pym. But people are thinking it's going to be, like, probably more of the personality of Lang, but Hank Pym.
So a merger, so to speak, of the two characters.
Yeah.
For the one.
All the chatter is going that route. And a lot of people are kind of iffy on having Rudd in that role because of his roles as, you know, he's a comedian.
Right.
He does comedic roles more often. But that's usually where, you know, those guys shine is when they come out and do something different, you know.
Well, they've already said that this film was going to be more of a comedic film than like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor. Which I'm fine with. Let's bring a little slapstick to the Marvel Universe. I think we're ready for it.
On that aspect, though, Hank Pym is not really much of a Joker guy. He's more of a serious guy that makes accidents.
Well, we'll see how this goes.
His Pym, was it Pym Particles or something like that?
Yeah. But it gets even better.
I think it's a good choice.
It gets even better. Jason Segel will play Hank Pym's surly sidekick, Thorax.
I think that was a wish.
Okay, well, could be. Still, it could be fun to see if that actually happened. Amazing Spider-Man 2. What, some more pictures came out. The trailer had come out. I know I had discussed the trailer before on the show. But, you know, it's part of the wrap up. The new stills that have come out, plus the New Year's Eve footage of the Battle of Times Square, which we'll play that clip here in a little bit.
Which featured more of Stan Lee than Spider-Man.
True. But hey, if it wasn't for Stan, we wouldn't be here with talking about Spider-Man.
That's true. And by the way, Stan just had a birthday.
Yes, he did.
A couple days ago. It was 91, right?
Yeah. So big shout out to Stan Lee. Happy birthday, Stan. And may you have many more. Excelsior.
We can hope,
yes. The announcement of X-Men Apocalypse, for last year. Came out last year. More pictures with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out.
Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel,
Michael Rooker.
Mm-hmm.
So, Age of Ultron.
Villain.
You were mentioning something. Would you say James Spader as Ultron?
I don't know if it's somebody's wish list, but I was just reading an article that said they were waiting to hear James Spader as Ultron. So I shouldn't say these things when we haven't really looked and backed it up or anything. But so I was just reading some chatter going on about that.
James Spader could make an interesting voice for
Ultron. Maybe he's just the voice.
Yeah, I mean, Ultron's the robot, so.
Of course.
And of course, our good quote unquote friends at Latino Review, El Mayimbe. Sounds like a Mexican wrestler. is reporting that another villain will enter the fray to cause chaos for the Avengers. And this is because El Mayimbe noticed that a casting breakdown was making the rounds in which Marvel was looking for a physically imposing man. Age range 40 to 50. And then he's saying, no, the article further says that it turns out that the supporting role is no other than Baron von Strucker.
Strucker.
He
is the leader of
Hydra.
Hydra. Yes, sir.
So,
hey, I was just reading back that, yes, we're a little behind on the news here, that James Spader is the voice of Ultron.
Well, again, we're catching up. You know, the last show we did was released on the 21st. Just so everyone's aware, we're recording now on Thursday nights, with the show airing tonight, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, you know, following Rebel Force Radio here on Sorcerer Radio. And
awesome.
So we're trying our best to get as much of the news that breaks by the time we record on Thursday. So if news breaks Friday or Saturday,
it's going to be a little while.
It'll be in the next week. You know,
yeah. So.
So basically the news we're covering is from Friday to Thursday, since we're recording Thursday. So if we don't get it by the time the show is airing now, it'll be on the next week's show. I mean, we'll cover it the next week's show.
We're not a 24 hours news network, but you know.
No. So,
although if you want to hear us for 24 hours.
Yeah, no.
anyway.
So that's pretty much the most recent roundup of Marvel. And then the other news that broke, of course, after I recorded the last show was Anna Paquin.
Ah.
Cut.
Yes.
Dropped. Swept up on the floor. Well, okay, maybe not swept up on the floor, but found in that illustrious digital file 13 recycle bin, trash can, whatever.
It is,
she is not in the movie.
Extra feature on Blu-ray bin.
Deleted scene.
Yeah.
She is now a deleted scene to X-Men Days of Future Past.
I don't think her part would have probably been very big anyway. But, you know how I feel about her character was she was a very weak rogue. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were making her a little tougher in this and we could have seen it. I don't think so, though. She's a weak character. She was the damsel in distress, you know. But and then what, the third one, she lost her power, right? Last Stand.
I think it was suspected, but I think it was one of those. I think it was also alluded to too, especially with Magneto, that the serum doesn't work. Yeah, you lose your power, but it slowly comes back.
You know, in the comics, she's such a strong character, outspoken, you know, always there to do some business. But in the movies, it's just like, what happened?
Yeah. Well,
who knows? We'll see on the Blu-ray scene was.
I mean, we're also talking X-Men Days of Future Past was a story that, you know, the main narrator, so to speak, of the story, or the main focus on the story, was Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. Well,
and now this, they're using Wolverine.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, including this one and all the, it's like the Wolverine show almost, you know? It's just a lot of Wolverine. The first movie was about Wolverine and Rogue.
Yeah, second one was Wolverine and Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Third one was still kind of Wolverine and Jean Grey. I mean, there was a little Jean Grey in the first one, but it was more, you know, Rogue had the hots for Wolverine, but she kind of does in the comic as well. So,
go ahead.
No, go for free.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know how much good we are on time here, but. I don't know if you ever covered this in an older episode or not, or issue or not, about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
Being in Days of Future Past and
in the next Avengers.
Age of Ultron. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we did talk about it when the announcement was made on the casting for Avengers.
Right.
And that we brought up the points that, one, the Avengers can't refer to them as the children of Magneto. Mm. They can't refer to them as mutants.
Uh-huh.
They can't refer to them as having been part of the X-Men. Because all that's under Fox control.
Well, yeah, Scarlet Witch was more of an Avenger anyway.
But
yeah.
But she's also was a villain with the X-Men for a while. But Fox scores the better end of this deal, because the only thing they can't say is, well, they were part of the X-Men, or part of the Avengers.
Part of Avengers, yeah.
So, yeah. But they could call them mutants, they could call them
It'll be interesting whatever. To see how each movie studio pulls them off, you know. It'll be pretty, I mean, you know, it's kind of bonus for us.
Well, what's gonna, obviously it's not the same casting.
Oh, no, no.
But, so, that's going to be lead into, that's going to lead into some confusion if Fox and Disney or Fox and Marvel ever come together for crossover, bringing the franchises together.
I don't think that would ever happen. There'd have to be some serious money involved in that.
There definitely have to be some serious money involved. But New Year's Eve, just a couple nights ago, I know you and I were busy at work Disney with New Year's Eve. Did you happen to see the footage?
I did see it.
What'd you think?
Well, that's what I was saying. There was more Stan Lee than Spider-Man. But the show's a lot of Electro.
Yeah.
A lot more of Electro.
Yeah. A little bit more Rhino.
Yeah.
A little bit more of Rhino.
It's a pretty nice battle scene.
Yeah. Right there in Times Square. I was watching some of the stuff on ABC. What was it? ABC News Now. I was catching it online. Of how they had Andrew Garfield suited up as Spider-Man.
Nice.
For this stuff. And the reporter, it was so funny. They were rigging up this sequence. I don't know if it's going to be used as a transition or for coming back out of a commercial break. A segue out of a commercial. Where he was basically jumped onto the landing they were on. She was going to look, turn, and swoon, and he was going to catch her. She just barely grazes him and then hits the ground. And he's like, oh, no.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was quite entertaining. But to also get him up on the ball, the New Year's Eve ball, and get some action shots up there as well, was kind of cool to see that as well. So, I know for me, I'd be going, tether, please.
Get me up there. No way.
So, but yeah, let me play the audio from this footage. It was interesting. As Ken said, quite a bit of Stan Lee. So we're going to play the audio, and then we'll come back and discuss it a little bit more.
Hey, true believers, this is Stan Lee bringing you a sneak peek at the amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't know about you, but I am so excited about this, and I won't waste any more of your time. I want you to get to the real deal right now. Here it is.
Ah! out of this little unit to the south end corner of Duffy Square.
Sir, get your hands away from the cables right now.
Yo, Sparkle! Need a hand?
Okay, so maybe it didn't translate as well as I was hoping at the time. But you see quite a bit of the battle there in Times Square. Yeah, you see a different angle of Spider-Man catching the police car as it's being flipped and almost crushing an officer. Mm-hmm. The Electro.
Where he charges up.
Yeah.
Grabs a power line in the ground.
I'm really impressed with the Rhino costume being mm-hmm. more of a mech. Or an armor instead of the spandex, like originally portrayed. It brings a little bit more reality to it.
Yeah. Like a guy could, you know, he could have invented this suit or made this suit.
Right.
Yeah.
So. It's, yeah, it is definitely, you know, I'm looking back at it again, the actual video, trying to see if there was anything I missed. It's just absolutely how Electro's got all the power to do almost an EMP pulse to drive people back mm-hmm. and just clear a whole, yeah, it's a circumference around him all the way out like a ripple. What was kind of cool to see as well. So,
it's a pretty action-packed clip.
Yeah, definitely, as I've said before, Amazing Spider-Man is a love story. It's almost borderline chick flick. To me, it's not what I want for a superhero film.
No.
You know? I mean, I don't mind the love story woven in, but it seems like it was more action was woven into the love story.
The love story, yeah.
This is, to me, how a Spider-Man film should be. I think this one, just based on what we're seeing so far, is definitely going to blow anything out of the first three with Tobey Maguire out of the water. It's going to...
Do you agree that Garfield, he plays a little bit better Peter Parker when it comes to, like, you know, because Peter, well, Spider-Man was more of a wisecracker, cracking, you know, guy, and Tobey Maguire really didn't do that too much. Compared to the way Andrew Garfield comes off.
I don't know. I still really haven't accepted Garfield completely.
Yeah, me neither. I'm just saying he's more of a wisecracking Spider-Man.
I still almost like the Spider-Man from, you know, Maguire Spider-Man from Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
We won't talk about the third one. But no. we just won't.
Disaster.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, this one's better. It's still being teased out there. Are there more villains besides Rhino and Hobgoblin, Green Goblin? Electro, because Harry Osborn was more Hobgoblin, not Green Goblin.
Right.
But they kind of are changing it to be more, you know, more Green Goblin. But we could talk about this a little bit more when we come back from the break. So you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio, and we'll be right back.
Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio,
your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Weebie Geeks, your source for all things geek. Movies, television, collectibles and toys, video games, comics, and conventions. Check out our interviews as well. That's Weebie Geeks. Go find us at WeebieGeeksPC.com. Follow us on Twitter at Weebie Geeks. Download our shows from iTunes and Stitcher. That's Weebie Geeks. Everything but chick flicks and Twilight. Whoa, guys. I said everything but chick flicks and Twilight.
Good day, everyone. It's come to our attention that listening to the sounds of Sorcerer Radio can make one tap their feet and hum a familiar tune, even causing one to smile. Have you caught the sensation yet? Listen now at srsounds.com. This tape will now self-destruct.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog.
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge.
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface. A new buffered stream. Auto reconnect when signal is lost. Visual EQ. Pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness.
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
So, I guess let's get back real quick to Amazing Spider-Man 2, the trailer, and what we gathered. You know, I've talked about in the previous issues the Easter eggs that were in the trailer. Mm-hmm. We see a little bit more in this as well. You know, we see a little bit more of the costume for Rhino.
All right.
We see more of the attitude of the Battle of Times Square. And I think a lot of the focus for this little teaser trailer was the fact that, you know, New Year's Eve was at Times Square. And they talk about what? I don't see where they actually say 39 million people in Times Square on New Year's Eve. Well, there's no way. Maybe 39 people.
39 million people.
Maybe 39 million people watching.
Yeah.
You know, combined between watching and being in Times Square worldwide, watching the ball drop, or nationwide, watching the ball drop. 39 people.
Spider-Man can't save 39 million people.
Hey, he has problems saving just one. Gwen Stacy.
Apparently so. Didn't do a very good job there, did he?
Gwen, let me catch you, snap.
Oops.
Oops. If that's a movie spoiler, read the comic, folks.
Yeah, if you, That goes back how many years? 30 plus years?
30 plus, yeah. So speaking of girlfriends or whatever, guess who's getting married in the Marvel Universe?
I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Now, Marvel has been teasing this for about 4 or 5 days with puzzle pieces with blood spots.
Cordially invited invitation.
Yeah. And the tease that it's going to be a violent wedding. Deadpool. Getting hitched.
Getting hitched. Getting married. Getting the old ball and chain.
Go figure.
But we don't know who the bride is, and there's plenty of speculation out there.
No. So who do you think the bride is?
I honestly have no idea.
Well, we're just gonna have to wait till April.
No, don't say that. Oh.
Yes. So it makes me almost wonder, because I'm not sure when Deadpool falls during the month. But if he's at the beginning of the month, I wonder if this is the April Fool's issue.
Maybe so. Because
the companies are always notorious for that.
Oh, yeah. Lady Death is the one common thing I see is him marrying. Common person.
Could be. Common
thing. You know what I mean.
Right.
That's the most I've read that he's getting married to. But she's kind of regular looking, except she's a veil over her face.
Yeah.
She has no markings. Hey, did you notice in this picture, there is a picture for people.
Yeah.
You can go check it out of the entire, it's going to be like, a 3-page cover or something to fold out.
Well, when they did the Spider-Man wedding issue,
mm-hmm.
of course, they actually did the wedding at Shea Stadium.
That was in the 80s, right?
I think it was in the 90s.
Was it?
That was a double, that was a front and back cover.
Right.
This one, according to... The Nerdist had the exclusive on breaking Deadpool is right. The one getting married. They asked the question. I just need to find it. They asked the question about the cover. And they were mentioning, I thought they were alluding to that it was going to be a single cover and that they're going to try and set the Guinness Book of World Record for the most characters on a single cover.
Like, there's, 250-ish characters on the cover?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, issue 27 has been, the cover has been submitted to Guinness Book of World Records. Because the stuff does take some time to print. To see if I can't find the question now.
How do you get to have a wedding? How would you like to have a wedding as Wolverine as your best man?
That could be apparently a Nightcrawler
officiating the wedding.
Officiating the wedding.
Hey, you notice there is somebody missing from this picture?
Who's that?
Thor.
Let's see.
There's Thor and there's somebody else, and I can't remember the other person. Thor is definitely missing.
Is he?
Yep.
I see the other. Who's the goat guy? Who's like Thor? Sorry, I don't know a lot of the characters.
Well, I see him. You know me and remember names.
Yeah, I see him. You're right, I don't see Thor.
But yeah, Thor is not in this. Thor's not there. What is Thor up to? Alpha Flight is in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of characters. But yeah, no Thor.
No Thor. That's an interesting observation. Good catch.
Yeah.
Good catch.
And Wolverine and... Wolverine's the best man.
Wolverine... No, I think Matt Murdock's best man. I think Wolverine and Steve Rogers are just
hanging there.
Groomsmen. Because you got some other creatures, too.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out. We got
raccoon.
Good old Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock. So, yeah, it's...
Why would all these people show up to Deadpool's wedding? That's the question I have.
Again, it's... April. If it is the... Yeah, if it is the...
Holy, is that Jabba the Hutt with a mustache?
Hey, I'm sitting right here. If that's the April Fool's issue, then who knows? This has been an interesting series. I haven't read it, but I've been hearing people talk about it. And it's just... It's almost like each issue is almost its own episode. So to speak, sort of like the Batman 66 by DC.
Right.
But it's just very intriguing on what they're doing with it. And you know, I think for next week, I'm going to go look up its release date so we can have it for next week on what it is.
Yeah, the just to backtrack a little bit, the wedding, Spider-Man wedding at Shea Stadium was in 1986.
Yeah, okay, so you're right, 80s. I wasn't sure if it was 80s or 90s.
And it's a double page cover as well, front and back cover.
I don't know if this one's going to be double page or not.
That's what I'm just reading the interview that they did with Jerry Duggan.
And
Mr. Duggan.
I know they were pushing for a full, at least full cover, and trying to get in the full cover done as the Guinness Records.
Well, we'll see.
So
we'll see how much of an April Fool's it's going to be.
Yes, we will. Hopefully it is an April Fool's, and if so, it'll still be great. It might be worth picking up. So stay tuned for that. But while we're talking, comics, let me give my picks for the comics of this coming Wednesday, suggestions. So as I go to the release calendar on Marvel's website, my five to take a look at for the month quickly. I'm not going to get into the details of what the stories are about because it's not just me trying to fill time. You know, I've got Kim on the show. I got a second person, a second seat.
Yo, so, that's me.
So my five for the month, or for this coming week, what's this coming Wednesday? The 5th? The 8th. Wednesday the 8th is when these drop. My first pick, again, no particular order, it just happens to be. My first pick is George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 1, Issue 1. Number 2. Avengers World, number 1. Number 3, All New X-Factor. Again, a number 1. So that's what, three titles already?
Yep.
Number 4. Wow, there's a lot of number 1s coming out this month. Or this coming week. Number 4. I'm gonna say Cataclysm, Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man number 3. Definitely worth, will be worth checking out.
Right.
And only because I'm intrigued by the cover, Deadpool number 22. He's got, I don't know who the group is behind them. They kind of look like a shield costume or a shield uniform. It's the skin tight black with the white shoulder stripe. Like shoulder harness. And Deadpool is in a Boy Scout. In a Deadpool-ish Boy Scout uniform.
All right.
Well, being a former Boy Scout, that's kind of intriguing. I kind of like that cover.
Kind of looks like the old classic Nick Fury costume, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like a mix of old Nick Fury and Fantastic Four. So those are my five picks. Deadpool 22. Cataclysm, Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man, number 3. Avengers World, number 1. All New X-Factor, number 1. And George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 1, number 1. So,
nice. All number 1s. Almost.
Three number 1s. But yeah, there's a lot of number 1s coming out. So.
I can add one in there.
Go ahead.
Anything with Superior Spider-Man. That's all I'm saying.
Are you liking Superior Spider-Man?
It's an interesting twist.
A
very interesting twist.
I just can't get into Superior Spider-Man.
You don't like who Spider-Man is now?
Who, Doc Ock?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. It was just... It wasn't... It wasn't what I was expecting.
Right. It's different for sure.
Superior Spider-Man 700, and then it's like they just stopped and now doing 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, then it clicked into its own title, and now it's got all these different spinoffs. And
let's keep advancing the issues, not 0.1. So, I'm trying to find my news for this next one. Hold on. I don't know if you know this, Kim, but Tony Stark's kind of lent us a friend.
He what?
Hey, Jarvis, are you there?
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
What do you think about that? Hey, Jarvis. Cool. Can you help me pull up the news? Check this out. Jarvis, can you help me pull up the news on... Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
For you, sir, anything.
Whoa, a little bit of a... There, isn't he?
Hey. So, hey Jarvis, do we have it yet?
You are not authorized to access this area.
Come on, let's try this again. Jarvis, get us in.
Level 7 access.
Bingo. Oh,
7. We have as much access as Coulson does now.
So what do you think? We got Jarvis helping us out with the show. Got some pull now.
I mean, I don't know what you did.
Hey.
Bought Tony Stark a couple drinks and that was it.
Apparently. Well, get him into the parks. Hey. So, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this next episode, which comes out next Tuesday, the 7th, is, I'm not sure what it's titled, but it's the return of Victoria Hand to S.H.I.E.L.D., to the show.
Right.
And of course, as you know, we're looking for Coulson. Coulson's been kidnapped. And we're trying to... And now we're going to, I think, start to get into the meat of the matter of what happened to Tahiti.
Right, what happened with him when he was there.
Right. So, let's play the clip real quick.
Just in time. Can you override this?
What do you think you're doing?
The money trails are key to finding Coulson. I just need to gain access to Van Chat's financials, and from there I should be able to trace into Pete's payments and then hack into their account.
You're the consultant, the one who shot Agent Sitwell.
Technically, that wasn't me.
I want you off this plane immediately.
What?
Wait. I know I'm not some badass field agent like Mayor Ward, but this is what I do. Pete just kicked me off this mission. Listen, I'll do whatever you say. All this protocol crap doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is Coulson.
Well, all this protocol crap matters to me. You're a distraction, and you're gone.
Agent Hand, I know Sky's methods are unorthodox. She's a member of this team. She can help.
Agent May, your professional opinion. Will this girl be of any use to us on this plane?
No.
Increase the restriction level. Confiscate her laptop and phone. Then have her delivered to debrief.
So we got Agent May throwing Sky under the bus. What's up with that?
I don't know. And you know, I'm not going to be very nice here, Mike.
Oh, that's fine. Oh. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. That's why we do the show.
You know, people say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. Well, I don't have anything nice to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The show is like Dawson's Creek with explosions. I mean, did anything grab you about that? And by the way, the episode's called The Magical Place.
The Magical Place. Okay.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I stopped watching like after episode 5. But I went through some of the other episodes later on, and it was pretty painful. I just don't buy that this group of kids is this elite government agency. I still cannot buy it. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this question. Going back to episode 10, the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say that that was the turning point of the show. Now, if the show had a turning point, that was it. Do you agree? Disagree?
10 episodes in and you're going to have a turning point? By the way, it's the show with the lowest ratings for your entire season.
Did episode 10 have the lowest ratings?
Yep.
But it's still pulling what?
Or viewers, I should say.
It's still pulling what? A 2.3? 2.2?
What do you mean? Viewers?
On the ratings.
Oh, ratings, I'm not sure. I'm talking viewership.
Right.
Was down to 6.1. And that's a million.
See,
it's the lowest.
It's been dropping viewers, and I think a lot of it's because it's just dragging. I mean, to me, the show dropped the ball with the whole Asgardian episode. That was a perfect opportunity to bring Chris Hemsworth in as Thor.
Yep, even if he's in there for a minute.
Drop the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping before the season finale, which is going to be shortly around, it's going to be around the time of Captain America Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. which is April 4th. Shortly after that's the finale. So you still got time, because the movie's pretty much wrapped at this point in time. They might go back and do some reshoots, maybe some ADR. But for those who don't know the term ADR, that's was it automatic dialogue replacement?
Yeah.
So, or analog dialogue replacement. I forgot what the A stood for. I thought it was auto dialogue replacement.
Something like that.
Anyhow, it's when they go back and re-clean up audio.
Yeah, actors come in and do the lines and stuff like that.
There's no reason why they couldn't bring Chris Evans onto the show.
Well, you know, they said at the beginning that this is not a show about superheroes.
Well,
it's a show about cleaning up
right.
the mess and dealing with. But, you know, it's hard to believe that you got all this stuff going on with these mutants and these people that the main superheroes are where.
Still in New York. Well, they're back at their other locations. Obviously, yeah. Thor's back at either New York or Asgard.
But you're right. When you have something as major as The Find in that episode,
Right.
Which episode was it? 7 or 8?
I think it was episode 8.
Oh, no. It was 9. I'm sorry. No, yeah, 8. 8.
8. Oh. 8 with the Asgardian, yep.
Yeah. That is kind of a big deal, you know, that piece they found.
Yeah. And it's tight. I mean, I know Robert Downey Jr. has said he would love to come on to the show as Tony Stark. Not mm-hmm. as Iron Man, but as Tony Stark. Which I could see him coming on to discuss with Fitz and Simmons about their technology, or talk about Stark technology and how they could possibly modify it for their needs.
Or
with this team.
Come in and fire them.
Something. But definitely, if before Winter Soldier happens, we find out what happened to Coulson, definitely you gotta bring Cap in, because he seems to be the one who was the most affected by Coulson's death.
Right, but
because of the bond that they had.
That's a whole other thing that's drug on way too long.
Yeah, they need to bring that to a wrap quick. So. The Marvel write-up is, our heroes will have to contend with Victoria's Hand's own method for finding their leader. However, Saffron Burroughs returns to the series, and if the exclusive image below is any indication, she'll have a great deal of firepower backing her up. I mean, she has like a whole troop with her.
Oh, yeah, she does.
So it's be interesting to see what happens. To me, I don't think they have found that stepping off point yet. But unfortunately, we have found ours. So we're going to have to wrap things up for this issue.
I wanted to complain about S.H.I.E.L.D. some more.
Well, you're going to have to wait till next week. So you can find us here on Sorcerer Radio on Saturday nights, on iTunes on Sundays. It's when the show will pop onto iTunes and Stitcher. Until next time.
Bye.
We be geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.